Praise God. Praise the living God.
Can we turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 32? And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with righteous living. Okay? We can continue later, but that's our theme for the program, the return of the lost son. The return of the lost son. That is the topic of my short talk this morning. The return of the lost son. In brackets, lost but found. Somebody shout hallelujah. Who can explain the meaning of lost to me? Or who can define it? This is not the time to bring out your phone and check dictionary. Just in your own understanding, what does it mean to be lost? L-O-S-T. We are youth, so it's expected that this should be a gathering of intellectuals. What does it mean to be lost? Anybody? Okay, let's go on. I'm going to define lost relatively to the sermon I want to preach to us tonight. And I'm going to define it this way: being out of your rightful position. Being out or being away from your God-ordained position. Praise the living God. Being away, being out of your God-ordained position. When I checked the Merriam-Webster dictionary to understand the meaning of lost, I saw up to 9 different definitions. And I was a little bit appalled that this common word that we use, lost but found, lost, has so many meanings. But this is how the Spirit of God has led me to define it, relatively to the talk of tonight. Being out of your lost, being out of God's ordained position for you. Being out of your rightful position. When something is not where it's supposed to be, it is lost. When you're not in the right place that God has ordained you to be, you are lost. Brothers and sisters, to be lost has a lot of negative side effects. To be lost is very, very dangerous. To be lost is a serious matter. When something is not where it is supposed to be, it is lost. Look up. Everybody can see this pulpit, this stand upon which my Bible is resting on. Upon which my Bible is resting. If we come tomorrow and it is not here, what are we going to say? God bless you. Would you God bless you? It is lost. If we come tomorrow and we don't find it here, we'll say what? It is lost. Even if somebody took it and kept it at the backyard and is trying to clean it and polish it. But when we come to the right place where it's supposed to be and we discover it is not there, what do we say? Are you understanding the meaning of being lost? Praise God. If this songbook is supposed to be on this pulpit, and I should just excuse myself and come back 5 minutes later and it's no longer here, I will declare my songbook lost. So when you are not where God has ordained you to be, you are lost. Praise the living God. For instance, when one is having sex before marriage, the person is lost. The person is lost in fornication. Because God ordained sex for marriage. When you are indulging in premarital sex before God, you are lost. When you indulge and you take all manner of drugs, hard drugs, codeine, refamine, refanol, whatever it is, and get yourself high or whatever, you are lost, because it is not your God ordained place to be. Are you following? Are you following? Once you are not where God has designed, where God has ordained for you to be, as a young man or young woman, you are out of your place. Therefore, you are lost. And it's sad to say that there are many lost youths in our generation. It's sad to say that we have many youths coming to church and yet they are still lost. A follow-up definition to the meaning of lost: when you are out of touch with your Creator, you are lost. When you are out of touch with God, you are lost. When you are not functioning the way God has designed you to function, you are lost. Praise God. Lost but found. The return of the lost son. Some people may say, it's son, not daughters. Well, that word son, in that context, is sexless. It's speaking of the human race. It's speaking of both male and female. So when you see the return of the lost son, it also includes the return of the lost daughter. Some of us are lost in fashion, possessed with all manner of fashion trends. Some of us, when we talk about the latest fashion in the world today, we are so much engulfed with it. Any fashion, Beyonce wore this diamond necklace and this type of gown. You are not going to rest until you buy it. I remember the day when skinny jeans was raining. How many of us remember skinny jeans? Oh, brothers, we believe that sisters don't wear trousers. How many of us remember skinny jeans? We have only brothers in this place. No, it started with boot cuts. In the days of boot cuts, maybe some younger people here, it was not in your own days. Those days, if you are not wearing boot cuts, you are not seen as somebody, you know, you are not part of the happening guys. Many of us are lost in fashion. The latest one that I'm seeing on the streets is Malians. No, let me face the brothers. Many of us are lost in one way or the other. Whenever you are out of your God ordained place, you are lost. Whenever you are out of touch with your Creator, your manufacturer, you are lost. And it is dangerous to be lost. The first sign of one who is lost is confusion. Imagine we are not familiar with Lagos. Several people came from outside Lagos and they were calling to find out the way. Oh, from here, how do we get to the church? We had to direct them and they all arrived safely. Imagine in that condition, you're in a city where you've never been before and you're trying to locate a place. And probably the map or the directions you are given is not updated, is not correct. And then you go to where they say you should go to and you go there and you discover, instead of seeing a church, you are seeing a mosque and you are looking for a church. How will you be? You'll be confused. The cause of confusion in the lives of many youths today is because of their state of lostness. Many of us are out of touch with God. Many of us are lost in one vice or the other, and it has brought about confusion in our lives. There are so many of us, if I ask you, even those in secondary school that have not even entered university, what do you want to be? You know, I was once in that condition. I first started with aeronautic engineer. Those days, sandalili, 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 sandalili. Although they say it's standard living, but in my own time, it's sandalili we used to say, not standard living. So let me sing it in my own way. Sandalili, sandal. I'm an aeronautic engineer in my country. Many people know me well.
To get to another stage, what do you want to be? I want to be a pilot. Oh, aeroplane, father, aeroplane. I want to be a pilot, aeroplane. He got to another time. No, I want to be a doctor. Can you see confusion? And I'm talking of as one is advancing in age. There are many of us that don't even have a life ambition. There are many of us that are even confused about our life and purpose. And it is because we are lost. Praise God. It is because we are lost. Tonight, I believe by this talk, if you will lend me your ears and lend God your heart, the Lord will bring you out of any lost condition in the name of Jesus. Being lost is dangerous. It brings about confusion. When you're supposed to go right, you will go left. When you're supposed to go forward, you come backward. Because you are so overwhelmed. You don't know what to do. Being lost. Being lost will deny you peace and joy. I'm talking about the effect of being lost now. Being lost will deny you peace and joy. Now, let's look at the prodigal son, as we all know him in this text we read. This younger boy went to his father, a rich man, and said, "Daddy, divide my own inheritance for me." And one would think, oh, probably he has a very good business plan. He has a very good investment strategy. That once he collects his inheritance from his father, he will go and invest his money in something and come out, you know, and multiply it. But imagine, the Bible said not many days after, he collected the fat check from his father. And what did he do? He embarked on a journey and spent all his living on riotous living. He was lost. He was confused. When a man is lost, when a youth is lost, it is such youth you see living all manner of riotous lifestyles. We have some of them in our schools and environments. You hail them as big boy because they're the ones that spend. You hail them as big girls because they are lost. And that's why those are the kind of people some of us are taking as role models. Being lost will deny you peace and joy. Praise God. Imagine you are lost. Like somebody said, you are coming to a church and you saw a mosque instead of a church. You will not have peace because you are not fulfilled. You have not hit your targeted goal. So you can't be peaceful and joyful. Being lost is very serious. It is very, very, very serious. You lack satisfaction and fulfillment when you are lost. When you are lost, it brings about a weakness in your life and destiny. When you are lost, you lack divine favor and security. Brother and sister, are you lost? Are you in the right position? Are you in the right place where God wants you to be? The reason why many adults and elderly people today are suffering is because when they were youth, like you and I, they were lost. The reason why many adults, many of our daddies and mothers and elderly ones, the reason why when they come to church, all they pray is restoration, 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 was because when they were youths like you and I, they got lost. Why am I saying all this? Our youthful age is the most important age of our life. Praise God. Our youthful age is the most important age of our life. If you miss it as a youth, you will suffer it as an adult. If you get it as a youth, you will enjoy it as an adult. The scripture we read yesterday in Ecclesiastes 11 chapter 9, it says, childhood and youth are vanity. Why are they vanity? There are some things you must understand in life as a youth. Can somebody quickly open to, for me, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Can we give anybody the mic? I want somebody from the congregation to read. Okay, if you read, let me attach a prize now. You see that a lot of people will read. If you read, 1,000 naira recharge card, everybody will start reading.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
To everything there is a season.
To everything there is a season.
And a time to every purpose under the heaven.
And a time to every purpose under the heaven. Thank you. To everything there is a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. I read that scripture because I want you to understand that this is a season. You will not remain a youth forever. Praise God. This is a season. You are in transition. You are transitioning. You will not remain a youth forever. So if you do not make good use of your youthful season, you only bear the loss of it tomorrow. And when I see many of us, I see that we are lost. We don't even understand the purpose of our youthfulness. The Bible says, the glory of young men is what? Their strength. The beauty of old men is what? Their gray hair. The glory of young men is their strength. It is to let you know that there is a season, a time when you are strong. Another time will come when your asset is not your strength. Your asset becomes your experience. Praise the Lord. Now as a youth, you have a rare opportunity. You are laying a foundation and you are planting some seeds. Your youthful age is a season of foundation. Like we've said several times, in a building, the most important part is what? The foundation. Is that right? Do you start building a house from the roof? You just get the roof of the house and put it when there's no foundation. Is it possible? Sisters, answer me. Is it possible? Your youthful age is a foundation laying season. And it is also a planting season. Our pastor read for us a scripture yesterday in Galatians 6:7 that God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. Many of us do not know as youths that God will hold us accountable for our lives. You think the youthful age is an age of playing, an age of behaving as you feel? No. Let's turn our Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and see something. I'm not intending to bore you by my talk. This is to lay a solid foundation to why we are here. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 9. Rejoice, O youth, in thy youth. If you don't have a Bible, look up. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thy heart and in the sight of thy eyes. But what? But know thou. Can we read this last statement together? But know thou that for what? For all this, God will do what? You shall account for your life as a youth. And you shall give account of your life as a youth in two ways. You shall account for your future and for your eternal destination. Praise God. Nobody becomes successful in life by accident. And nobody goes to heaven by accident. It was a conscious decision they made. And it has been proven that the ages of 14 to 28, whatever you will be in life, is majorly formed between the period of 14 and 28 years. Somebody say amen. Whatever you will be in life is majorly formed between the period of 14 and 28 years. So that lets me to know that the youth you are today determines the adult you will be tomorrow. Praise God. The young man, the young woman you are today determines the adult you will be tomorrow. So this should make us to wake up and come out of every lost condition as youth. Up to now, many of us don't even know where our life is going to. Many of us don't know what direction our life is taking. If you sleep and wake up as a youth, you sleep in your youthful days and you wake up when you're an adult, you might have woken up too late. This is the time to wake up. Praise God. This is the time to wake up. Your future is already here. Stop prolonging your future in 5 years from now, 10 years from now. I will be this, I will be that. Who are you today? If you are lost, you can't find an answer to this question. Your youthful age is serious. It is important. In fact, like I said earlier, you face the worst battles of your life as a youth. Battle of decision. Battle of what career should I do? Battle of which school should I go to? Battle of who should I marry? Battle of what do I want to be in life? All these battles are fought when you're a youth, not when you're an adult. Imagine you are 40 years old and you don't yet know where you want, what you want to be or what you want to do with your life. Is that a good thing to talk about? But with the way many of us are going, when we are supposed to be planting, we are not planting, we are sleeping. And when harvest will come tomorrow, that is when some of us will wake up and start planting. It shall not be your portion in Jesus' name. So it behooves us right to be found in our youthful age. It behooves us right to be found when we are still young. Because the decisions that will shape in our life and destiny are made now. If you don't get it right now, you only stand on the queue tomorrow. Praise God. Now let's look at the things that get us lost as youth. The things that get us lost as youth. The things that make us come out of touch with God as youth. The things that make us out of our rightful place as youth. Amen. First on my list is friends. Many of us are lost because of the friends we have. Many of us are confused in life because of the friends we have. Is that right? A wise man once said something. He said, show me your friends and I will tell you who you are. You should know something, that your friends will either make you or mar you. Imagine a poor man that is working with 6 billionaires. When they see the 7 of them, what would they say? Someone should answer me. Somebody is poor and he has 6 billionaires as friends and they're working together. When they see the 7 of them, what would they say? So, yeah, please. That beautiful sister wants to answer me.
They'll say that he's a millionaire.
Okay. You say he's a billionaire. Who wants to answer me again? Okay. Sister Peace wants to say something. Express yourself. Don't worry. There's no scoreboard here and it's not a quiz. There are 7 people working. 6 of them are billionaires and 1 is a poor person. When they see the 7 of them, what would they say?
He will become the 7th millionaire.
He will become the 7th billionaire. Thank you. You know, there's something some of us used to do when we were in school those days. If you are not brilliant, what do? You make those that are brilliant your friends. Is that not right? Even if they are getting A and you are getting C because of their closeness to you, is it not something? Are you failing? Your friends will either make you in life or mar you. Many of us are lost today, and it's simply because of the friends we have. Praise God. Many of us are lost today, and it's simply because of the friends we have. The party that some of you went to and lost your virginity, who invited you? Was it not a friend? Brothers, let's talk. The party that some of you went to and took your first cigarette, was it not a friend that told you about the party? I always use myself as an example because I believe I was lost but I'm found. I'm an evidence of God's grace. I've told you people times and over again that I lost my virginity at the age of 13. The age of 13. And it was not even to a normal person, but to a prostitute. And I remember clearly that it was just 300 naira that I paid. How did I get to know about prostitutes at that age? It was because of some friends I had who told me, come on, this and that. Let's go to this place, let's go to that place. And that is how I lost my innocency. Friends, somebody. How many of us have messed up our lives because of friends? How many of us have become who we are not supposed to be because of the friends we keep? And please, no matter how anybody forces himself on you, to walk with that person is still a decision you made. I don't know why he's just always coming around me. She's just always coming around me. I can't push them away. No. You can't push them away. You chose to be their friends. The Bible says in Amos 3:3 that two cannot walk together. Thank you. I said they be agreed. Friends. There's a sister in the Bible. Let's read that story. Genesis chapter 34. If I'm not mistaken. Can we have it on the screen? Friends. Genesis chapter 34. Now, this is the story of Sister Dina who was lost. How did she become lost? You must understand that you did not just automatically become lost when they gave birth to you, when you came out of your mother's womb. This prodigal son had been doing all right until a day came that he made a decision. He decided to lose himself. He decided to leave his rightful position. Praise the Lord. So let's look at Sister Dina, who left her rightful position and became lost. And Dina, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. She went out to do what? She went out to see her friends. Let's start from her today. And what happened to her? And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he did what? He took her and lay with her and defiled her. Dina was lost. She left her rightful position. And she was lost because of her friends. Praise God. There are many things that we do today that we didn't used to do before. It was one day it started and it was because of a wrong influence. The friend we had. Anybody who is a thief here, he started one day. You did not start stealing from your mother's womb. You did not start fornicating from your mother's womb. It started one day. And from that time, everything turned around. But if some of us should trace back and do a spiritual diagnosis, you discover that the cause of your being lost today is the friend you kept. The first time I watched pornography, it was a friend that introduced me to it. Was there anybody here that was watching pornography in his mother's womb? It is not just friends. It is part of the things, the avenues that make us lost. Some of us, as we are leaving this conference, we should be living resolved in our hearts that there are some friends we will never work with again. It is not everybody you make a friend. I've said this repeatedly. I said it is not discrimination. It is revelation. Not everybody. 1 Corinthians 15:33. What does it say? Be not deceived. What happens? Evil communication, evil company, evil friends corrupt good manners. There are some boys today, in your younger days, right from your childhood, you are very humble and very loving. But a time came when you met some friends and made them your some boys and you made them your friends. Now, not even your mom can talk to you anyhow. Your shoulders are bigger than everybody in the house. Friends. Brethren, if you do not keep the right friends, you will definitely be lost. Because friendship is something very vital. Friendship is something very delicate. Your friends are your counselors, both formally and informally. We pick the characters of the people we work with. Praise God. We pick the characters of the people we work with. We are using 7-6 billionaires and one poor man as an example. Do you know that if that poor man is always around them, do you know himself will forget he's poor and be thinking he's a billionaire? He can walk to a shop one day and be talking like it's poor people that show off very well, not rich people. I'll be talking like a rich man. Hey, what do you have here? Bring all this. You come here. He doesn't have money, but he has 6 friends that are billionaires. Show me your friends and I will tell you who you are. If you are not yet like them, it is a prophecy. You will soon be like them. If your friends are thieves and you are not stealing, it's a prophecy. You will soon start stealing because they are your friends. There are many people in our lives that should just be acquaintances. People you know and greet. People you are familiar with, but not your friends. Praise God. Praise the living God. Bad friends has led to a lot of people, has made a lot of people lost. Praise God. I pray that if you are in such a condition, you shall be found in this conference in Jesus' name. Your friends are your counselors. And these friends include even the friends you keep in the church. The kind of friends that discourage you from the things of God. I beg this Bible study, I beg this sermon, this and that. Let's go to that camp and do this and do that. Those are not the kind of friends you need. Somebody you need to wake up and start selecting the right friends so that you will not be lost. Another avenue that makes us lost is peer pressure. Who can define peer pressure for me? I intentionally separated friends and peer pressure. Who can define peer pressure for me? Anybody? Can we give them the mic? Somebody is up. Okay. You want to define peer pressure?
Having the mind or the spirit of I want to be like my friends.
Yeah, not just I want to be like my friends, but I want to be like my mates. Praise the Lord, somebody. Because my mates are doing it, let me do it. Because all my mates are wearing miniskirts, let me wear miniskirts. Because all my mates are sagging, let me sag. Because all my mates are singing Naira Marley and Davido, let me sing Naira Marley and Davido. Because all my mates are watching Close Enemies and Meek, let me watch Close Enemies and Meek. Because all my mates are dancing, which dance is the latest dance today? Before I became found, it was Yahuze in our own time. Shaku Shaku, thank you. Because all my mates are dancing Shaku Shaku, let me dance Shaku Shaku. I have never found a youth that is successful, that is shining bright as a light, that was limited by his peer group, his age mates. Both in the spiritual world and the secular world, every youth that blew up and became successful, they broke through the barrier of peer pressure. Even Bill Gates, read his history. If he was thinking like his peers, he would not have been where he is today. Many of us are limited in life simply because my mate, this is how my mates do it. This is how people do it. This is how my mate do it. Let me do it that way. Do you know that there are some sisters and brothers that no longer greet respectfully again? They just give you passive good greeting. Good morning. And they think that's being cool. Because that's what others do. If you ever be found in life, you must break through the barrier of peer pressure. It is a principle you must follow for your life to come out beautiful. If you are still limited by what will people think, what will my mates think? Won't they think I'm too odd? There are many of us, when we go to school, at home, you come to church and we know you with long skirts. But when we go to school, you don't even have the courage to dress like a Christian simply because of peer pressure. Somebody is saying her nickname is SU. That means you've broken through the barrier of peer pressure. When you're living your life by what will my mates think, you will never triumph above them. You will be limited by them. Some of us, a teacher will ask questions when we're in secondary school or primary school. You will know the answer or something to say. But you'll be wondering, how will my mates, how will the class respond to what I want to say? Won't they say you're old-fashioned? Won't they say you're this, you're that? And you miss a good opportunity. There are boys that you are only pretending. You are not who you really are on the inside of you. You are only pretending to so that you belong. They do not think you are not invoked. You are only pretending to belong. You are only pretending to be what you are not. You must break through the barrier of peer pressure to be truly successful in life. Don't ever be limited by what will my mates do. If you are, you'll be lost. What will my mates think? Because one, you're not even thinking about what will your adult or elders or parents think, your mates that have not seen life farther than you have. Does it make sense? Your mates that have not seen life farther than you are. If you are limited by the pressure of peers and mates, you will never go far. And that is why many of us are lost. But I pray for you that in this conference you shall be found in Jesus' name. Look at it. Before, you are not the way you are today. You had a cordial relationship with your parents. You are everybody's best child. Every adult in the church, at home, in the environment sees you as respectful, honorable. People who pray that their child should be like you. All of a sudden, you got to a particular age and started misbehaving. So we must break through the barrier of peer pressure if we're ever going to be found. If we're ever going to be successful, have a successful future and a successful walk with God. Amen. The story of the prodigal son, for example, what could have led to him deciding to rebel against his father, leave his father's house and go and spend his life on righteous living? And can anybody help us? What could have made him, okay? Coordinator, please give her. If you have anything to say, just lift up your hand and the coordinator will locate you. What would have made the prodigal son to say, no, I want to stay away from my father and go and do my own thing, my own way?
It's because of the kind of friends he moved with. Probably he was seeing them taking, rebelling against their father to take money and go and squander it. So he decided to tell his dad the same thing.
Can we put things together for
the world?
His friends. Does anybody have another point? Why you think the prodigal son rebelled against his father? Somebody else? Yes, talk please.
Peer pressure.
God bless you. Peer pressure. Peer pressure could also have caused it. Because it looked as if, from the story, this family is a very godly family. But probably this young man, this youth, was seeing other of his peer misbehaving, spending anyhow. Some of us, you see your mates spending anyhow. You don't know the source of their income. Be careful. They say all that glitters is gold. It is not everything sweet that is good for you. Then that pressure of Everybody has money. And you, your parents are trying. You are in university or secondary school and they are giving you the weekly or monthly allowance they can give you. But because maybe it's just 20,000 or 10,000 you have, and you are seeing your mates 100,000, and you are pressurized, let go of that pressure. If not, it will compress you. Praise God. Some weeks back, a father called us and was telling her in particular that we should help his son if his son should come back from school. What happened? They called him from the school that his son is owing money. This one 20,000, this one 10,000, this one this, this one that. And the father was like, every week, the university, I send so amount to this boy. Why is he owing people? It's pressure. Peer pressure. Your mates are wearing a particular clothes that is more expensive than your father's salary. And because you see everybody wearing it, and you are not wearing it, you are still wearing your Maria Amaka or whatever it's called. You feel, no, I must belong. Such a thought can lead you to do two things. Either to flirt with a boy for money, or to even lie and steal it. There are many youthful sisters who give their body freely to men today because of money, out of peer pressure. iPhone 2. Many youthful sisters do so. Why should you allow your peer group to pressurize you? Let's imagine it together. I said they are your mates. They have not seen farther than you have seen in life. Don't be in the chains. Don't be in the bondage of peer pressure. You will never think straight if you are. You must determine to live above any pressure from your peer, so that you can shine as the star that God has made you. I know of many sisters who, before they went to university, their clothes were sweeping the ground. But by the time you start seeing the selfies they take and post, you first fall under anointing before you recover and look again. Who is this? This sister that sang in the choir? You mean, is this this brother? Is this person? What happened? Probably everybody in that higher institution dresses like Jezebel. And here you are, Rebecca and Sarah. But because you are pressurized by them, and you feel, I want to belong so that they will not look down on me, I must be on vogue, then you go and do what you are not supposed to do. You are lost if you are in such a situation. Nobody, I've said it, I said, do your own research, even in the secular world. Nobody has ever been under the bondage of peer pressure and went above his peers at all. It's called pressure, peer pressure. They weigh you down. How much more your spiritual life? The reason why many of us are no longer burning for God is because of what? Peer pressure. In your school, in your class, nobody talks about God. All they talk about is Davido, Wizkid, and Fino, and Techno, and Burna Boy, and this one and that one. And you feel, no, I must be part of it. And you start watching what you are not brought up watching. May the Lord deliver somebody from peer pressure today in Jesus' name. You are not saying that, amen, clearly. May the Lord deliver somebody from peer pressure today in the name of Jesus.